Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
A half century ago, it was Sputnik. Today, it's the rise of China. Then, it was the spread of communism. Today, it's terrorism. Then, it was the economy. And today, it's, well, the economy. But in both eras, there was also a nation yearning for something new to revitalize it. And the nation found it when John F. Kennedy won the Democratic nomination for President of the United States in July 1960. Tomorrow marks the 50th anniversary of the speech Kennedy gave when he accepted the nomination in Los Angeles.
We are not here to curse the darkness. We are here to light a candle. As Winston Churchill said on taking office, some 20 years ago, if we open a quarrel between the present and the past, we shall be in danger of losing the future.
For in the future, Kennedy said, lay a new frontier. And in the half century since he first delivered it, Kennedy's new frontier address endures as one of his greatest, possibly even greater than his inaugural address. To mark the 50th anniversary of Kennedy's Democratic nomination, the John F. Kennedy Library is displaying an original draft of the speech. We're joined by Robert Dalek, one of the nation's preeminent presidential historians and professor emeritus of history at Boston University. He is also the author of An Unfinished Life, John F. Kennedy, 1917 to 1963, and the forthcoming book, The Lost Peace, Leadership in a Time of Horror and Hope, 1945 to 1953. Robert Dalek, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good to be with you.
Professor Dalek, let me ask you, I mean, many people say that it was this speech, the New Frontier speech, that really thrust the man who was later to become President Kennedy into the national consciousness. Why is it that it was such an important moment in the history of the Kennedys and the history of the United States?
When he gave this speech, he coined the phrase, the New Frontier. And the country had been in a pretty desultory mood. Eisenhower, Kennedy's predecessor, of course, when he left the office at the age of 70, he was the oldest man ever to have served in the presidency. And there was a sense of discontent, of demoralization, especially over the fact that the Soviets had launched what was known as Sputnik.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave people the feeling that the United States was falling behind the Soviet Union in its capacity to compete on a global stage.
Today, our concern must be with that future. For the world is changing, the old era is ending, the old ways will not do. Abroad, the balance of power is shifting. New and more terrible weapons are coming into use. One-third of the world may be free, but one-third is the victim of a cruel repression, and the other third is rocked by poverty and hunger and disease.
And in fact, he refers to communism directly, saying that its influence has penetrated further into Asia. But more so, he really puts front and center that vivacity, that youthfulness, that sort of turning of the page of American history that you mentioned. I mean, he says, here at home, the changing face of the future is equally revolutionary. The New Deal and the Fair Deal were bold measures for their generation, but this is a new generation.
All over the world, particularly in the newer nations, young men are coming to power. Men who are not bound by the traditions of the past. Men who are not blinded by the old fears and hate and rivalries. Young men who can cast off the old slogans and the old delusions.
Exactly. And in his inaugural in January of 61, he would say that the torch had been passed to a new generation, and it was electric. People could feel that there was something fresh and new in the air, and it was caught perfectly in this phrase, the new frontier, because Americans understood that the country had always had this sort of inventive frontier quality to it, reaching beyond the horizon. The historian Richard Hofstadter once said, America was the only country in the world that believed it was born perfect and strived for improvement. Well, there was something true to that with this advent of Kennedy's nomination and potential election.
The new frontier is here, whether we seek it or not. Beyond that frontier are uncharted areas of science and space, unsolved problems of peace and war, unconquered province of ignorance and prejudice, unanswered questions of poverty and surplus. It would be easier to shrink from that new frontier, to look to the safe mediocrity of the past, to be lulled by good intentions and high rhetoric, and those who prefer that course should not vote for me or the Democratic Party. But I believe that the times require imagination and courage and perseverance.
Well, Robert Dalek, let me ask you, this phrase, the new frontier, it became, you know, very much a touchstone for Kennedy even during his administration. But that administration, as we all know, was, of course, a very short one. So was he able to accomplish some of these grand sweeping visions, or any of them, that he laid out in the speech? Or is it the speech itself that lives as the most important aspect of that time?
It's an excellent point or question. The Kennedy administration on the domestic side achieved very little. The major initiatives he put forward, a $11 billion tax cut to spur the economy, Medicare, federal aid to education, and of course the 1963 proposal for civil rights, which later became Lyndon Johnson's 1964 civil rights bill. None of these were passed during the Kennedy presidency. And I think the reason the Kennedy speech and Kennedy himself continue to have such a powerful hold on the public's imagination, part of it has to do with the fact that he was assassinated, but it's that the country yearns. It's always looking for youth, for hopefulness, for optimism. It doesn't want to hear about a malaise, as Jimmy Carter learned. It wants to hear that America is on the move, that it's going to reach new heights, and that Kennedy remains a kind of inspirational voice, and this speech about the new frontier remains a kind of a hallmark of that. And it's still there, and that's what, in part, I think, recommended Obama so powerfully to people in 2008.
And yet, for all the speeches, eloquent and intelligent, that we've heard him give, I don't think I recall a particular phrase or a particular moment in any of his speeches that has caught on and really bored into the American consciousness the way Kennedy's speech did.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think one of the lacks or problems of the current Obama administration is that it does not have that kind of catchphrase. And so when you once again have a moment of concern, even distress in this society, and you don't have the kind of inspirational catchphrase that the New Frontier conveyed, people look back to that. They look back to the New Deal, to the idea of a great society, the idea of a new frontier. And so if President Obama and his administration could find that kind of catchphrase that would inspire that sort of hope again, it might somewhat eclipse this speech in Kennedy's new frontier phrasing, but it hasn't, and so as a consequence, we still turn back to this, and it's something that continues to have this special hold on the American people.
Well, Robert Dalek is a presidential historian and author of An Unfinished Life, John F. Kennedy, 1917 to 1963, and also the forthcoming book, The Lost Peace, Leadership in a Time of Horror and Hope, 1945 to 1953. Robert Dalek, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Can a nation organized and governed such as ours endure? That is the real question. Have we the nerve and the will? Can we carry through in an age where we will witness not only new breakthroughs in weapons of destruction, but also a race for mastery of the sky and the rain, the ocean and the tides, the far side of space, and the inside of men's minds? That is the question of the new frontier. That is the choice that our nation must make, a choice that lies not merely between two men or two parties, but between the public interest and private comfort, between national greatness and national decline, between the fresh air of progress and the stale, dank atmosphere of normalcy between dedication or mediocrity. All mankind waits upon our decision. A whole world looks to see what we shall do. And we cannot fail that trust, and we cannot fail to try.
To commemorate the 50th anniversary of Kennedy's presidential nomination, the John F. Kennedy Library in Dorchester is currently displaying an annotated original draft of the New Frontier speech. There's more information, and you can even listen to JFK's speech in its entirety on our website, wbur.org/Boston. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow at 3 for more Radio Boston.